This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, welcome to this our very first online What's Islam e-course presented here at Buranul Islam. And inshallah, this course is entitled The Women Around the Messenger, in celebration of August being Women's Month. And in reality, in Islam, every month is Women's Month. We would like to spend this month and the weeks to come thereafter discussing the women around the messenger, meaning the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest and most blessed women that walked on the face of this earth. And alhamdulillah, this being our very first What's Islam session, it's very simple, inshallah. On a weekly basis, on a Monday and a Wednesday, we will be sending little audio clips, hopefully not much longer than half an hour, where we will go through this course. It's absolutely free of charge. You'll get the audio, you'll get any course notes, inshallah, that we've prepared will be sent to you as well. And at the end of the course, we will hope to have a little quiz for those who would like to do it, where perhaps there will be a certification as well. For those who receive this this lecture and you're not keen on receiving it, please send us a message. We won't bombard you with any lectures that you're not happy with. So this course, the wives, the women around the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why are we doing this? What's the objective of this course, and why do we want to attain this course? Well, number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the Rasul, the messenger of Allah, is closer and dearer to the believers than their own selves. He's closer to us than our own self. We know this. We love our Nabi very, very much, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that his wives are ummahatul, that they are the mothers of every believer. Every single one of us, every one of us that says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every Muslim, Allah has positioned the wives of the Prophet, peace be upon him, as our mothers, as mentioned in the Quran. And there's nothing more important than one getting to know who your mom is, who she is. The mother of any one of us is a important person. We need to know who this lady, who these ladies are. So in this course, inshallah, we'll mention 12 women around the messenger. The list has already gone out. These are the 12 women around the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you, and I want you to take this moment to sit down, maybe pause the lecture, and I want you to see if you can list all 12 women around the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the 12 personalities that we'll be discussing. And if you start writing and you get stuck, then this course is definitely meant for you. Because as a number one objective, and as a very easy objective, I hope that by the end of this course, you'll get to know who these 12 women were. You'll get to know about their personalities. You'll get to know about the type of women that they were. And to have a bond with these women that are your mothers, inshallah. Also, you will find that these are the best and these are the greatest women of this ummah. And in Islam, many a time we hear about the great legacy left behind by the male heroes of Islam. There are many, many sisters, many women that have contributed tremendously to Islam. And for our sisters in particular, here are a list of women that have contributed to the spreading of Islam, that have built this deen through their hard work and their iman and dedication, that this deen would not be where it is had it not been for both the contribution of men and women. So it's for our women to look at as role models. But more than that, these women, and you'll find, alhamdulillah, when we get to know about their lives and their details, their controversies, we'll find that they are that the human side of the Sahaba, the human side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how they dealt with domestic disputes, how they dealt with sadness and happiness, how they dealt with jealousy and hatred. These are things that the human emotions, the Sahaba were human after all, so we get to learn from them, and we get to learn in our daily life from them. We also know that in the modern age, there's a lot of questions around Islam and feminism, or Islam and gender issues. Many, modern Western writers have accused Islam of being biased or sexist, being oppressive to women. And this cannot be further from the truth. There are some very awkward questions. There are some questions which we might not have learnt in our madrasa studies. Questions around, for example, polygamy. Why can a man marry four women? but a woman cannot marry more than one husband. Why is it permissible for a man to perhaps marry a Jewish and a Christian woman, but it's not permissible vice versa? Was Aisha radiallahu anha really 9 years old when the Prophet married her? Subhanallah. Why did the Prophet, peace be upon him, marry more than the quoted, the four women of the four limit that was stipulated? This course, alhamdulillah, we've drafted it and put it together here in Cape Town. And it has come about mainly because of questions that our sisters and also non-Muslim women have asked about Islam. They've asked for clarity on some of these issues. And it is, in fact, if I were to share a personal story with you, growing up, I always had in my mind this question: why did the Prophet ﷺ marry so many women? Why, if the Sharia has set the limit as four wives, did he marry more than four? And usually when you find out any leader, or any group, where the laws apply to the followers, but it doesn't apply to the leader, you should have, but you know, it should give you some kind of concern. So growing up, I always had this question. And I remember as a young boy, I must have been 8 years old or 9 years old, an imam, may Allah bless him, he came to the masjid in Paul and he gave a lecture on the wives of the Prophet ﷺ in a Jumu'ah khutbah, where he explained each and every wife of the Prophet, peace be upon him, in a very short story on each one of them, and the reasons why the Prophet, peace be upon him, married them. And that clarified all those misconceptions. So we are a deen of knowledge. We are a religion based on intellect and understanding. And while we don't look to be controversial, we understand in the modern age these controversial questions are out there. These are the questions that we might not be comfortable with them. These are the questions that our youngsters are being asked. They are having these questions on their mind already when they get to older age, when they get to university and they interact with people of different backgrounds. These questions will be something that we'll confront with. So the best we can do is to take these questions, discuss them and address them, and believe me, Islam has the answers. And we should never be afraid to ask these kind of controversial questions. We should be more afraid when we stop asking questions, when we stop studying and researching. So we will tackle these very awkward kind of questions around gender and Islam, around women and Islam. And inshallah, we hope that we will clarify, as we go through this course, we'll clarify it. But ultimately, this course is going to be a story. We will get to know the wives of the Prophet, peace be upon him, on a very intimate, very personal level. There will be some humor in it. There will be moments where you will laugh. There will be some drama in it. And as we go through the story, we'll get to learn a lot about our deen, about the laws of marriage. We'll get to learn about these controversial issues in a very easy and enjoyable manner, inshallah. Now, if you're a male, you might be asking yourself, is this course for me? Well, of course this course is for you as well, because, alhamdulillah, these are your mothers as well. You'll also get to learn a side of the Prophet, peace be upon him, a domestic side. So we know the Prophet, peace be upon him, the teacher. We know about him, the spiritual leader. We know about him, the warrior. But as a husband, what was he like when he was alone with his wives? What can we learn about being the best of husbands, the best of men, the best of fathers? We will learn about the Prophet as a father as well. So this course is really for all of us, inshallah. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts tawfiq and blessing in us. We, as a community, we know that the more we learn and the more we acquire knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us. We don't only learn these things simply for the sake of learning, but we hope to implement this in our lives, that we become better husbands, we become better wives, that we aspire to be like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we aspire to be like our mothers, the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. We hope to be closer to Allah. And as we know the beautiful hadith, the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, whoever, you know, takes upon himself a journey to learn, and this is a journey of learning, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make easy for him the path to Jannah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we hope, bless this initiative. And you will be hearing more of this as we go along during the weeks to come. We will also, even though we are submitting this via, you know, electronically, we welcome any and all questions. So any questions that you may have, you can either respond to the WhatsApp message, or you could email us. You could email me personally, wismuhammad@gmail.com. Any questions about the lecture that was unclear, any comments you'd like to make, anything you disagree with, we're happy to discuss that as well. And any questions even over and beyond the course itself. If you have a question completely unrelated to the course, submit those questions in, and we hope to at least spend 5 minutes each lecture answering a question or two that comes through the email. So let's start our course. The Prophet, peace be upon him, in his last few weeks on this earth, you know, it's Hajj season right now, Hajj is on our minds. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, he performed Hajj, the great, the grand farewell pilgrimage, where 100,000 plus believers were around him. He spent time with them on Hajj, and then every, you know, the different tribes left Mecca, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, was on his way back to Medina. And before he reached Medina, he gave a very powerful sermon, and he advised his Sahaba about a number of things, and he advised them that they should take care and they should love and adhere to the Quran, and they should adhere to the Sunnah, and they should love and adhere and be good to the Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That we should always, as his ummah, part of loving the Prophet, peace be upon him, part of our respect to him, is to respect his family. And without a doubt, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are his family. From amongst, that's part of his family, part of part of our belief in him and loving him, is to love the wives, the women that he chose. And in fact, these women, we believe, were not chosen by him, but in fact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to be his companions in this dunya, and they will be his companions in Jannah as well. So the Prophet advises us that look after, or I remind you, to be respectful and keep and to be good to the people of my household. And at the very least, showing respect to the Prophet, peace be upon him, is to know who these people were. Also, as we said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that they are our mothers, and it's a compulsory aspect of our deen to get to know who the azwaj, the wives of the Prophet, peace be upon him. So the first mother, inshallah, we'll be discussing, the first of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we'll be discussing, is of course the first wife being Khadija bint Khuwaylid. Khadija bint Khuwaylid. Now I want to take you back 1,400 years ago. 1,400 years ago, what was life like in Arabia? If you were in Saudi Arabia or in Mecca 1,400 years ago, well, the world would be very, very different. You lived in a time when there were absolutely no rules, no laws, no rights pertaining to women. You lived in a society where women were completely dominated and oppressed by their men. In fact, in most societies, not just the Arab societies, women were not seen as not only equal to men, they were seen as subhuman, in fact. They were not seen as something that was human. Men, for example, they bought and sold their daughters, their sisters, they exchanged their wives, and we know in the Arab culture what they did before Islam, that when a woman gave birth to a daughter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes how this man would take these daughters and they would in fact bury them alive. That they didn't have the right to life. That you could do what you wanted with your women folk. They were like your cattle. They were like your camels and sheep. If you wanted to allow them to love you, it was your property completely. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to tell these people, these pre-Islamic Arabs, in the days of Jahiliyyah and the days of ignorance, Allah says that it is haram for you, O men, to inherit women against their will. Meaning that when a man would die, his brother would come, and his brother would inherit his money, his animals, and even his women, his wives, his daughters. They became the property now of the man who inherited from his brother. Women were purely, they were a commodity. They were just a commodity to be used and abused as men saw fit. And this was not just in the Islamic context. The Arab context. This was not just an Arab phenomena. This was the case in many, many societies. Of course, this was all pre-Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would come and rectify this society, would rectify this situation. So a woman, really, in the heart of Arabia 1,500 years ago, the best you could hope for, your biggest aspiration, your biggest goal in life would be, if you were born to a father that was kind, you were lucky, and if you ended up being married, of course, you didn't have a choice who to marry, but if you found yourself being married to a husband who was also kind, then really this was the very best. This was the very best you could have hoped for. In the heart of Arabia, in the heart of this kind of patriarchal backward society, you find this woman, Khadija bin Khuwaylid. And as we go through this course, I would like for you to have a mental sort of a picture of who each wife was. You'd find that all of them, they had their own unique personality, their own unique style, which also shows us Islam, you know, to be a good Muslim is not just one mold. You can be a pious Muslim in different ways. You can be a shy person and be a pious Muslim. You can be a very a vocal person and also be pious. So Allah will show, we'll see from the personalities that you can be different types of people and you can still be close to Allah. Khadija bin Khuwaylid, what was she like? So Khadija, she was the daughter of a man called Khuwaylid, who was an important man in the Arab society. He was something of a tribal chief. He was a chieftain of Quraysh. And she came from, therefore, a very prominent, well-respected, powerful, wealthy family. And her father was, he had a business dealings that was quite successful. Now, in Arabia at that time, there was not much in terms of resources. Makkah doesn't, even today, it doesn't grow much agriculture. It doesn't have resources in terms of minerals and mining. So therefore, the Makkah's economy was built on import-export. Makkah is in the middle of the desert, and it's between civilizations. So if you need to get goods from one side of the desert to the other side, the people who are best suited are the desert people, the Arabs. So the people of Makkah, they excelled in importing and exporting goods. They would take goods from Yemen, and they would, you know, transport it through the Arabian desert all the way to Syria and Jordan and back and forth. And this is how they made their income. So Khadija's dad, Khuwaylid, he had a business doing this. He owned many camels and therefore he ran a few caravans. Khadija radiallahu anha, she was born 15 years before the Prophet, peace be upon him, was born. So she was born 555, and she was born before the Prophet, peace be upon him, by 15 years. In her young age, she was married to one husband, he was called Abu Hala, because they shared a son. They had an elder son called Abu Hala, Ahala. And so she was known as Hala, and her husband, her first husband, was Abu Hala. Abu Hala passed away after Abu Hala's death. She was left with two kids. She was left with a son and a daughter. And it wasn't long after that that Khadija married another man called Atiq, but this marriage didn't last for too long, and he either passed away, she had divorced him. So she had two husbands before the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She had two kids from her previous marriages, and each of her husbands, when her first husband passed away, she inherited some of his assets and his resources. And then her father would also pass away before she married the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When her father passed away, when Khuwaylid passed away, of all the children of Khuwaylid, Khadija showed the most aptitude in running the family business. So she basically took over her dad's business, and she was extremely gifted and skilled in that. She was a very smart businesswoman. Very sophisticated, very confident. So her personality, we get to see that she came from a well-to-do family in Makkah. She would have had a better education than normal women. She would also have been exposed to a lot of the business dealings and the high society of Makkah, and she thrived in that environment. She would be a woman you would imagine in today's time, a corporate woman, very sophisticated in the boardroom, very adept at business and business opportunities. She had very good ways with people, and in spite of her, you would say, her intelligent business dealings, she was at the heart of it a very warm, loving woman. So after her two marriages, she invested herself in her dad's business, and she expanded the business so much that of all the caravans in Makkah, her caravan was the biggest. At some point at the height of her empire, it was said that half of all the merchandise that was being imported and exported of Makkah was going through Khadija's business. And she became therefore the wealthiest woman of Makkah. Many men proposed to her, many men wanted to marry her, because not besides for her wealthy side, she was a philanthropist. She used what money she could to uplift the poor of Makkah. She was refined, she was classy, she had a confidence, yet she spoke in a way that was always ladylike. She was very, very confident, and she went for the things that she liked. If she wanted something, she would go after it, but in a way that was always diplomatic, always refined. And many of the men of Makkah proposed to her, but when she looked at the quality of the men of Makkah, she found herself that there was much to be desired from these men. And therefore, she basically resigned herself, She was still a young woman. She was probably in her 30s, but she no longer wanted to marry any of the men of Makkah. She was completely happy to run her business, to raise her kids, and to use her money in uplifting the poor of Makkah and to expand her business dealings. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have something in mind when He would place the Prophet, peace be upon him, in her way. How would she meet the Prophet, peace be upon him? How would she cross paths with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Inshallah, we discuss next lecture how the Prophet and Khadija got married. Jazakallah khair. I hope that we meet again. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.